This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:47 in the morning. I'm joined by Joyce Goh, and of course, I am Khoo Soo Chong. Now, the Breakfast Grill comes on in about 15 odd minutes or so. Sharitz Abdullah talks to Alan Chia. He's the chief executive of Go Car Malaysia. Go Car Malaysia is, of course, a car rental and sharing company contributing towards the large and diverse transport service ecosystem in Malaysia. They were acquired by Mayflower some years ago, which is, of course, a Tan Chong Motor Holdings company, and they have a lot of vehicles on their portfolio, Nissans and Renaults specifically, but MPVs, SUVs and sedan cars in general. Now, to switch on to the business news headlines, we've got AirAsia and Malaysia Airports taking their tussle to a much, much deeper level here. Now, of course, we know that this feud has been ongoing for some time, and AirAsia has responded to last month's 36 million suit against them with their own lawsuit, except that this time their lawsuit is more than 10 times Airports' lawsuit. It's in the region of 400 million ringgit. And basically, there's a countersuit to this whole feud.
Yeah, so AirAsia's counterclaims are for losses and damages it experienced due to operational disruptions at KLIA2. And they pointed out that a ruptured fuel line that impeded our operations at PLP for over a month at KLIA2 last October, as well as closures at Runway 3 on numerous occasions throughout the previous year. So looks like, yeah, it is definitely heating up between the both of them.
Yeah, so of course, just to reverse a little bit, Airports' 36 million ringgit suits in December was basically for unpaid airport taxes and passenger service charges for international departures. So 36 million from Airports, then 400 million from AirAsia back to them. Now, a lot of financial context here, because Airports is a 13.5 billion ringgit market cap company with about 5 billion ringgit in revenue. So the amount claimed from them of 400 million ringgit is just under 10% of their revenues and nearly as much as the net income for 2017. So that's a lot of money in case this whole lawsuit goes pear-shaped for them.
Yeah, so looking at this passenger service charge that is paid by the departing passengers and is collected by the airlines during the ticket purchase. I think since the start of last year, this is January 1st, 2018, the PSC had been set at 73 ringgit per passenger for passengers flying out of KLIA2 and KLIA. However, both AirAsia and AirAsia X have been collecting 50 ringgit per passenger. So that's 50 ringgit versus the 73 ringgit. And MAHB demanded that the two airlines pay up the 23 ringgit difference per passenger from July 2018 onwards.
Well, yeah, you can see the sense of this, I guess, from a superficial level, right? Because AirAsia runs a low-cost, no-frills airline. And they, ostensibly, well, they do operate out of a low-cost airport, right? And therefore, they don't see the justification in Airports making them, demanding that they charge 73 ringgit, the same rate that people fly out from KLIA1 are paying, right? So obviously, they are being told to charge 73. They in actuality charge 50 bucks as a 23 ringgit gap. And I guess that gap is what Airports is chasing them for. But you can see the sense, because if you're a low-cost passenger, why would you pay full cost passenger charges, right?
Yeah, for their airport. But I must say, recently we flew into KLIA2 and the baggages came out so fast. It's a lot faster than at KLIA.
Really?
Yeah, this is quite surprising. And there were trolleys and everything. So it's quite a, I mean, it could be a timing, could be that time of the day or we were just lucky landing in on that day. But yeah, definitely noticed the difference in terms of how fast the baggage came out.
Well, that's a bit of a strange issue because, you know, logically speaking, KLIA1 passengers should get much better service, right? Because you're paying 23 bucks more passenger service charges. But look, I mean, when you look at it for the whole issue, basically, the Malaysian Aviation Commission and the legislation from 2015 suggest that any issues, any disputes between any parties in Malaysian aviation should as much as possible be settled out of court and not, you know, ascend to the legal jurisdictions, because it's costly, it's laborious, it takes a lot of time and saps your energy.
Yeah, that's true. And also, I think what AirAsia is saying, that they're maintaining their stance and that you know, travellers flying out of KLIA2 should not be paying the same airport tax as those departing of KLIA. They're saying that KLIA2 provides inferior services, and they've also added that MAHB has done a poor job maintaining KLIA2, citing remember the recent discovery of maggots and all that? and the bees and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's gotten. I mean, it's
The regulators want the both parties to mediate and to settle out of court clearly because it just cuts a lot of corners, and it's a lot less expensive. But you know, this feud has been lasting a long time. I mean, look at it, right? 2002, when AirAsia was forced to move out of Subang to KLIA, that was a huge issue for them, and it makes sense at the time, right? If you got this ready-made airport which is just out of the city centre, use it, lah. You know, why be forced to move out? And then March 2006, AirAsia then went from Calais to the low-cost carrier terminal, the LCCT. And then another 8 years later, AirAsia moved to Calais too. And of course, apart from the moves, there's been numerous issues between the two parties from different views on how KLIA2 should have been built, the runways, the maintenance, the operational problems. But the latest point of contention, of course, revolves around the PSC. But the PSC is the latest fracas, which has been many, many fracas through the
years.
There's
been brewing since 2002, and it's 2019 today. So yeah, it's been that long. Well, speaking about feuds, I think there's another one, right, Truong, that's been brewing in corporate Malaysia?
That's right. This time involving Genting, Fox and Disney. Now, Fox Entertainment Group, 20th Century Fox Film and Foxnet have filed a $46 million counterclaim in response to Genting Malaysia suit against them for breach of contract. Now, $46 million is nearly 200 million ringgit, okay? Not a small sum. Now, Genting stated in the boss filing that Fox, together with 21st Century Fox and Walt Disney, have filed a report in this $46 million from the Americans. This is in respect of annual license fees, guaranteed amounts of royalties and travel reimbursements. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're looking at also some damages, reasonable costs and other relief under applicable law. And this is pursuant to this MOA that they signed in June 1st, 2013.
Yeah, so, you know, remember late November last year, right? Genting Malaysia sued Walt Disney and 21st Century Fox, the Americans basically, right? For pulling out of an agreement to sponsor the Fox World theme park in Genting Highlands. They sought $1 billion in damages from the Americans. And of course, according to Genting's filing in LA, Fox had been happy to have a park that was in close proximity to the casinos of Resort World. But apparently then, Disney, according to Genting, made an about turn and said that Disney then later went to say that they wanted no ties with the gambling company because of its family-friendly brand strategy. So Genting is saying, you knew what you're getting yourselves into. You knew who we were, right? You signed this memorandum of agreement. We've done this deal. And then later on, you say you changed your mind because you don't want this association with gambling, right? Right,
yeah.
So,
but
bit weird,
this,
bit weird,
this
right?
Fox theme park thing that that's up in Genting, it's been ongoing for a while, you know, it was delayed for some time. I think they entered into a licensing agreement, Fox entered into a licensing agreement in 2013 with Genting for this development of what would have been the first Fox-branded theme park in the world. And that was supposed to be a key attraction at Genting's resort. And Genting was to own and finance the park completely, with Fox getting a cut of the revenue from the F&B and retail. And Genting had apparently invested already $750 million into the park, and it was due to open this year. But remember that a couple of times we were chasing the story, it was delayed because of cost and because of a couple of reasons. And then now this latest one, I guess, is the lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, Genting has had a really bad year, right? From the original budget 2019, the slapping of assortment of gambling charges on their business, and then of course dealers' fees and croupiers' fees, and then now this whole thing, this, you know, Genting was supposed to have this fantastic exploding 2019, where you had the new theme park coming up, you know, the whole rejuvenation plan, and then it's been anything but. It's been an annus horribilis for Genting so far.
Yeah, actually they wanted to kind of reposition themselves to be more of a destination, more a destination not for gambling, but you know, you just go for the theme park or F&B, you know, now they've got the retail outlets there as well, so it's kind of like repositioning itself. But yeah, you're right, Truong, looking at where they are currently, there's quite a lot of things they'll have to settle. I mean, look at settle in terms of, you know, going to court and looking at what's going to happen to the theme park that actually most of it is already built. Like,
yeah,
if you go up to Genting, it's actually some of the rides and all that have already been built. It's still a WIP, a work in progress, but it's there. You can see it there.
Yeah,
look at the stock.
I'm looking at the stock right now. Genting Malaysia was trading as high as about $5 and 35 cents in August last year. And then they dropped all the way to just below three. They went to 270s, right? It was a terrible, it was the wrong end of Mount Everest, basically. And they've been trying to claw their way back. But, you know, it's one thing after another for Genting. I think the Edge Weekly this week covering Genting in greater detail. So if you want more context there, have a look, have an eyeball of that particular particular story. Now, interestingly also related to spending, the salary threshold for expats may be raised, and that's not to protect expats themselves, but to protect locals. Now, the Human Resources Ministry plans to increase this income threshold for expats working in the country so that then priority is given to local employment. Now, there's only three categories of employment passes here. Category 1, 10,000 ringgit monthly, I think, and above. Category 2, 5,000 to 9,999. And category 3, 3,000 to 4,999 monthly. So if you lift the third category, which is the lowest category, then your local workers can get higher salary. That's the idea.
Yeah, and we have Minister M. Kulasekaran speaking about the plans to review this current threshold.
Now the 3,000 is the cutoff point, but we are going to increase it to a higher level, maybe to 4,000 or 5,000, so that these people who are earning that income from 5,000 and below will only be Malaysians. We are also making sure that genuine people are allowed in this country. We do necessary verification. We are forming a committee to look into it, see as to whether what will the threshold be. The whole idea is to discourage expatriates who come here and compete with us. And also their expertise is something that we don't have. Those are the factors to be looked into.
Charles M. Kulasekaran, the Minister for Home Affairs, and of course the government is reportedly considering raising the salary threshold for foreign professionals or expats working in Malaysia to beyond 5,000 ringgit to ensure that more jobs reserved for locals. Okay, we're nearly to the 8 o'clock news, but do stay tuned for Sharitz Abdullah's Conversation and Breakfast Grill with Ellen Chia, the Chief Executive of GoCar Malaysia. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.